The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene, a very good afternoon from a very, very chilled Joburg.
I'm hoping you are chilled because you're all relaxed and not because it's getting really chilly.
Chilled because rain is amazing. You come from South Africa. You know how desperately we need rain. Same as Israel also needs rain. Chilled because we've had a couple of hot days and it's always nice to have these afternoon showers. And chilled because there's a sense of acceptance that we can't change what's going on around us, but we need to do our bit to make a difference.
Absolutely. That is for sure. Let's all do our business. Let's all cooperate. And hopefully we can talk about how we are all recovering together.
So tell me, we are looking, we've been chatting about COVID throughout the afternoon. The figures are bad in America. It's their worst ever day in respect of deaths. What is happening in Israel with regards to your lockdown and your COVID situation?
Okay, look, our contagion rate, our rate of infections is still high. It's cause for concern. And yesterday the health ministry said that they could possibly attribute to the surge to the British variant of the COVID-19 virus. In fact, they said they could trace at least 189 new cases to 30 people who had returned to the country with the British variant. And as a result of the high numbers, we will be entering a much tougher lockdown from Friday to last 10 days. And, there are quite a few people saying that the current lockdown we're in is a fake lockdown because people are still out. They're still milling around. They're still not respecting the law. From Friday, it will be a lot more tougher. There will be much more of a police presence. Supermarkets will have to close at 7 o'clock at night. Schools will be closed. The amount of people allowed to gather in places of business will be restricted to about 5. So the government really means business. Coupled with that, we have this incredible vaccine push, and we're still leading. And what I thought was quite interesting today is I looked at the countries that are leading this vaccine rollout, and we're at the top where we have been, and we're expecting about 300,000 units of the Moderna vaccine in a couple of days' time, so that we'll have that coming in as well. But I thought it was quite interesting that we're number one, followed by the United Arab Emirates, and then Bahrain, and then the United States. I don't know if it's anything to do with the Abraham or Abrahamic peace accords. It certainly is a cute little anecdote to take note of. And while this is happening, we have heard from Amnesty International, who are now demanding that Israel vaccinates the Palestinians. And I know there's been some coverage in the South African media, so let me just clarify as I did the other day. Israel, according to the Oslo Peace Accords, which is the accepted legal and binding documents, Israel is not responsible for healthcare in the territories. That falls under the remit of the Palestinian leadership, including vaccinations. The Palestinian Health Ministry have said that they do not want or need the help from Israel. There have been murmurings that some officials have said they'll ask Israel for help, and Israel has said, if asked for help, we will absolutely cooperate. We're not going to deny any help. But the Palestinian Health Ministry have said they have their own health ministry. They're not an extension of Israel's defense ministry, and they have managed, with the help of the World Health Organization, to secure their own vaccines, which they will distribute. They have not wanted or expressly asked Israel for help in this matter. And I know that there's many saying Israel should be responsible, Israel should be responsible. Legally, we're not responsible, and the Palestinians don't want our help. And I think that is pretty clear. I know one of the news channels in South Africa covered this and said that Israel should be doing this. But there you have heard it from the people who actually live in the region telling you what is happening on the ground. And while we're talking about normalization, some more incredible developments. Sudan announced about an hour and a half ago that they have signed the Abraham Accords, which brings them into our ever-widening circle of peace. And this follows the trip there by Steve Mnuchin. He is the head of the Treasury for the United States. He is there, and he has tweeted out that he is en route to Israel. So very interesting to see what he's going to get up to here, because he said he's on his way to conduct some very important meetings. What could it be, Chad, I'm asking you?
Well, I don't know. I believe that an ambassador to the UAE has been named, that the Gulf states are beginning to end their ongoing feuds. Perhaps Saudi is going to come on board. But conversely, in Algeria, there's lawmakers that don't want to see normalization with Israel. Tell us what's happening there.
So let's talk about the normalization with the UAE and Bahrain and Morocco. Israel has announced that we will be opening temporary diplomatic missions that will grow into permanent diplomatic missions. You know, the ambassador that served in Turkey that was asked to leave Turkey, as many of you will know, we have tense but ongoing relations with the Turkish government. Ambassador Naer, he will be headed to the United Arab Emirates, where he will oversee these missions. So we will have an embassy in Abu Dhabi, that's the capital, and a general consul in Dubai. While we are speaking, we are about to open our mission in Manama in the Bahrain, which is another embassy that is part of the Abraham Accords exchange of diplomatic missions. And hopefully by the end of the month, we will have our embassy in Rabat. That's the capital of Morocco reopened, and they will have theirs here reopened. So it's all very positive on that side. And now the news coming in from the Sudan that they have signed the peace accords. News broke over the weekend, and this is again thanks to the efforts of Jared Kushner, that the feud between Qatar and Saudi Arabia, which resulted in a souring of diplomatic ties and the closing of airspace and various other issues, that has come to an end. They have now resumed friendly relations, reopening the skies, reopening diplomatic missions, and it's led many to think that, or to speculate that maybe this is the path to us normalizing with the Saudis, which would be really, really tremendous. But there's also smart money on the Kingdom of Oman, another Gulf state perhaps entering our ever-growing peace circle. But while we have all this wonderful peace happenings, we also have some sour grapes in some parts of the world, and that would be in Algeria, where one lawmaker has said he wants to push for legislation that would make any attempts to normalize ties with Israel, or at least from Algeria's point of view, a criminal offense. And that just makes me sad, because, you know, if we look at what is happening in the region and we look at the incredible rate at which cooperation, especially in the sphere of business, tourism, and now medical cooperation is happening, it's only positive. The warm peace that is being extended person to person is only positive. And it's really sad that we have the situation with some countries.
Yeah, there's always going to be somebody late to the party or somebody that wants to ruin the party. Talking about parties, what's happening with the elections in Israel that are set to commence, I think, end of February, beginning of March, somewhere around there? And is there another party?
Well, there's a date booked for the 23rd of March, failing any kind of vote from the Knesset to change it. So the 23rd of March, Israelis will head to the polls. And for those who might be infected with COVID or in bidud, they can go and vote in the drive through voting booths. But yeah, we have a whole lot of, you know, I think this is the election of parties. And I don't mean parties in the let's have a party, although it isn't kind of in the let's have a party sense, because everybody seems to be forming a party, Chad. In fact, I'm feeling left out. Maybe I should have done the same. But we do have Ron Huldai, the mayor of Tel Aviv, who announced that he is forming a party called the Israelis, very original name. And he announced that he will have, that women will play a major part there. He's announced that he will have four women on his ticket. The Yamina party, which is the newly formed party by Naftali Bennett, that could be heading towards a split, because Naftali Bennett and fellow right-leaner Bezalel Smotrich, they can't seem to agree on anything. They can't seem to build the bridges of, above their disagreement. So they may be splitting. Then we have the announcement from Gideon Saar, who's formed his own party called the New Hope. I mean, we have the New Right, we have the New Hope, we have the new parties. I'm feeling very left out. And Gideon Saar says that should he be successful in this elections and be the one to have to form coalitions, he will not enter into any kind of rotation government deal with Prime Minister Netanyahu. And then we have rumors that Yesh Atid might split the party, originally amalgamated with Chosen Israel, which is Israeli Resilient, headed by Benny Gantz, to form the Blue and White. They brought in Moshe Ya'alon. They then split, and Moshe Ya'alon and Yair Lapid and Yesh Atid, they might be splitting as well. So it's like Game of Thrones, Chad, really, except this is not Westeros.
Very, very true. Rolly Marks, thank you so much for joining us with the Israel Report. We'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, same place.